tickets are on sale now, but QR Calgary has your shot at scoring your way there.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much.
Listen to Morning Brew with Andrew or enter at QRCalgary.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shania this Calgary Stampede.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. There are mixed signals in Ukraine. Russia launched a new wave of attacks as the largest prisoner exchange since the start of the three-year-old war got underway Saturday. Reporter Ian Pennell is in London with the details.
This is the first wave of up to 1,000 Ukrainians and 1,000 Russians expected to be swapped over the weekend. It's the result of face-to-face meetings held last week. But meanwhile, Russia launching more attacks on Ukraine. President Trump expressing hope that this prisoner exchange could lead to, quote, something big. But the Kremlin saying there are no plans right now for another face-to-face meeting with Ukraine.
Ukraine's capital of Kyiv came under a large-scale combined drone and missile attack Saturday, with explosions and machine gun fire heard throughout the city. The new minority liberal government has a stack of crime and justice policies to implement.
Some included measures aimed to make it more difficult to get bail for those charged with violent car theft, home invasion, as well as some human trafficking and smuggling offenses. The Liberals also promised to create new criminal offenses involving intimidation at schools and places of worship, as well as online sexploitation. All the promises were made during a federal election campaign, which saw the Conservatives lean heavily on an anti-crime message. Rob Westgate, The Canadian Press.
The Blue Water District School Board in Ontario says the five people killed in a car crash Friday afternoon have been identified as high school students and a staff member. The board released a statement calling it a devastating loss for the school, local community, and the school board. Police say the victims of the crash are four teenage girls and a 33-year-old man who were all traveling in the same SUV. Ontario Provincial Police say the SUV collided with a transport truck and then crashed into a second SUV at an intersection just outside of London, Ontario. The BC teen who spent weeks in hospital last year sick with avian flu is speaking out against the planned cull of 400 ostriches at a farm in BC's interior. Jocelyn, who visited the farm with her family Saturday, says her blood is still being drawn by doctors to study antibodies. She questions why the same can't be done with the ostriches.
Do more research about it. Let the ostriches live so then research can be done.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency maintains it has a duty to protect Canadians from avian flu and says the cull will go ahead. Palestinian officials say at least 79 people have been killed in the latest round of Israeli strikes on Gaza. Reporter Marcus Moore says 9 of the dead are from one family.
More heartache south of Khan Yunis, where three airstrikes killed a pediatrician's 9 children at their home as she cared for patients at a nearby hospital. The children ranging in ages from just 7 months to 12 years old. Dr. Ala Al-Nadra's second child and husband, also a doctor, survived but suffered critical injuries.
Israel's military says it had evacuated civilians from the area. It says, quote, the claim regarding harm to uninvolved civilians is under review. And the Cannes Film Festival has awarded its top prize to a movie from Iran.
Iranian drama It Was Just an Accident wins the prestigious Cannes Film Festival Palme d'Or trophy. 3 years ago, Iranian dissident filmmaker Jafar Panahi was in prison on a hunger strike and had been banned from leaving his country. His film is a revenge thriller, and it was picked up by Neon, which won last year for Anora. In fact, Neon Films won Cannes' top prize the previous 6 years. Second prize, the Grand Prix, went to the Norwegian family drama Sentimental Value.
Oh, it's a project.
The festival got its own film-worthy ending Saturday with a brief power outage, but the red carpet was lit up in time for the awards. I'm Julie Walker.
From the Global News Desk, I'm Joshua Azizi.
Across Canada. Live across Canada, this is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Well, thanks for being here ahead of this long weekend. You know, some people write biographies because they've accomplished amazing stuff, you know, sort of blazed incredible trails. And other people have just had really fascinating lives. Not to take away from their accomplishments, but they've just lived full lives around some very interesting people and done some very cool things. And that's where we bring in my next guest, Lori Wooliver. She grew up in Syracuse in the 1980s, but dreamed of becoming a food writer. It led her to culinary school in New York, and by happenstance, a job working as an assistant to chef and rising food star Mario Batali at a very, very hot spot in New York called Babu. Have a listen.
Hi, I'm Mario Batali, and welcome to my flagship enterprise, Babbo Enoteca Ristorante, right here on Waverly Place in Greenwich Village in New York City. One of my favorite restaurants, perhaps my first and most famous restaurant. Some of our dishes are very traditional, some of them are not. One of my favorite dishes is a crispy fried sweetbread served with a duck bacon and a membrillo vinaigrette. It's unlike anything you've ever eaten in Italy, and yet when Italians come here, they think they're at home.
Yeah, Mario Batali there. I guess it's called Babbo. I never got in. I never was there to eat in a restaurant such as that, but it sounds really good. That whatever he was making there sounded good. And with that, suddenly Lori Wooliver was immersed in the world of New York's world-famous culinary scene. And the position with Batali would eventually lead to another longer-lasting and more collaborative relationship with another rising food star of the time, a chef turned author turned TV star, a name you'll recognize, Anthony Bourdain. And it's one of those bonds that would form over writing, something Bourdain was even more passionate about, you know, prose itself, just the art of writing, than he was about food. Have a listen.
If you have a good writing day in the morning, I write in the morning. I wake up, and before I have any time to think about all of the million and one reasons to not write, I start writing. And I write as much as I can, and I go, and then I shove it in a drawer. And I don't look at it for a long time. Let's say it's a good writing day. You've written yourself into a corner.
Thank you.
There's nowhere else to go. So that means the rest of the day you're thinking, how do I get out of the corner? That could be fun if you have a life. You know,
right.
But you need a life.
You're picking beans and you're like, oh, you know what I should do? That character should say this. Or
that moment is going to come when you're doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, you're having a Negroni at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and looking out at the world, or you're just about to fall asleep.
Yeah, the late Anthony Bourdain talking about the art of writing. Lori knows all about that because she worked first as his assistant in 2009 and then would go on to co-author two New York Times best-selling books with him, including 2016's Appetites, a Cookbook, and another one following his death called World Travel, An Irreverent Guide. She also released a biography of Bourdain after his death by suicide in 2019 called Bourdain, The Definitive Oral Biography. She consulted on Morgan Neville's acclaimed documentary Roadrunner about Bourdain's life and his ultimate death. And she spoke about the documentary with Joe Rogan on his hugely popular podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, shortly after its release in 2021.
You know, I've been steeped in all things Tony for, you know, over a decade. But since he died, I've been making these books and working on the film and talking about him. And so I've kind of got, I think, a layer of numbness in a way, but sometimes stuff gets through. One of the first time I saw the film, I cried like a baby. When I was home by myself, I was really glad to be alone, you know?
Yeah. Lori has turned the lens on herself now with the writing and release of a new memoir called Care and Feeding. It includes memories and stories of Batali and Bourdain. Batali, of course, was sort of caught within a Me Too thing, and there was a big fall from grace there. And, of course, we know about Anthony Bourdain's tragic end. But it's about much more than that. It's about her life as a writer and an author, like around this world that so many people have had a window into through characters such as Batali and Bourdain, but told from her perspective in this biography called Care and Feeding, or at least autobiography, memoir, better yet. She joined me in April, and I started by thanking her.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and thank you.
I mean, interesting memoirs, right? I mean, you've written lots over the years, but your beginnings are fascinating. I mean, I thought what was really interesting is to delve back into sort of your first steps out of college and into this world, because any number of things could have prevented you from doing any of this at any point in your early 20s.
It's true. Yeah. I feel like my entire career has been a little bit of a winding path and a lot of luck and serendipitous, you know, meeting the right people at the right time and being willing to kind of zig and zag and sort of figure out what feels good and what will get me, propel me forward in life and as a writer. So and that's sort of the backbone of the whole story. Is it's a work memoir, but of course it's also an addiction memoir, and you know, some big names are in there. There's a love story and you know, explosion of the love story. So it's a lot of things.
Yeah, and your journey towards sort of Mario Batali and then Anthony Bourdain begins, and this sort of I thought was quite surprising because I didn't know this at all, but it begins sort of working for a very wealthy Manhattan family in their home, right? I mean, and that seemed like an odd path to where you wound up.
Well, at the time it was perfect for me. I had no training. This family didn't actually want someone with training because they wanted to call the shots. And it was a very specific mid-90s zero fat diet that they were after. And so to, you know, have somebody that was trained in the French tradition didn't really work for them. So I was the perfect fit. They also really valued Ivy League graduates. So they had all these people in their home doing kind of mundane tasks. All the nannies were Ivy League graduates and the house managers and myself.
It's bizarre. It was bizarre. Yeah. I mean, I understand it, but it was odd to think of it, to think of you as that collection.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, it was a great job for a couple of years. I mean, they were very odd. I was just when I first realized how odd money can make you when you're so isolated from having to really want for anything and no one's telling you no, because whatever you want or what you can imagine you might want, you have the money to be able to make it happen. It really does sort of warp a person. You know, they weren't bad people by any means, but it was such a culture shock for me.
Yeah. You also brought me back into that weird era of 90s food, like the low fat Oreo, right? Which all of it now, you look back at it, it seems so preposterous. But at the time, it was en vogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't think about the fact that, well, what gives it its flavor? They just pump everything full of sugar. You know, it's like, yeah, it's fat free, but you know, you're going to get diabetes.
and then there's sort of a bunch of, I won't call it serendipity, but you sort of begin to enter that world that we now understand, sort of the name, you know, it seems like such a snapshot in time too, the Mario Batali, Tony Bourdain world of sort of the super chef of the 90s into the noughts, right? And we know there are other names out there too. How did you sort of first take your first steps into that world?
So I went to culinary school in New York, and unlike all of my classmates, I didn't want to work in restaurants. I was really intimidated by the prospect of working in a hot restaurant kitchen. And also I thought, gosh, there's got to be a better way for me to make a little more money. And it just so happened that Mario was looking for an assistant. He had opened a second restaurant, had just published a book, and his life, you know, he needed somebody to help him kind of keep all the details in order. And so he reached out to my school asking if there were any students that would want to interview. And from what I understand, I was the only person to apply for the job. So right. I got it.
I mean, to put things into perspective for people in Canada who might know who he is, I remember him as being a very big deal, very quickly, one of the first of those very big deal chefs.
I would say he was probably second to Emeril Lagasse, who I think was just the most visible and largest superstar of that early Food Network era. And Mario was on Food Network from the very beginning, you know, from the mid-90s. He had a show called Molto Mario. But when I came on to work with him, and I don't take any credit for this, but I just happened to be there at a time where his career got much, much bigger. He started to open more restaurants. He published a couple more books. His television show kind of took off, and he really just became this extremely hot commodity. Plus, you know, one of the hottest restaurants in New York, impossible to get into, full of celebrities, you know, just constantly being written about. He was really at the center of this celebrity chef 1.0 universe.
Yeah. What was it like for you? Because I gather you worked both front of house and you worked with him. Did you not work in the kitchen as well? You mean you sort of saw that whole phenomenon from the inside out?
Yeah, I bounced around a little bit. My main job was handling administrative tasks and keeping things organized, being a communications kind of stopgap. But I did answer phones. I did coat check, you know, whatever kind of needed to be done. I was an extra pair of hands and somebody that was willing to jump in and help out. I spent about a month in the kitchen after somebody quit unexpectedly, and until they could hire a replacement, I was the replacement. I did some travel with Mario where we would cook in different places around the world. So I really got a bird's eye view of this really dynamic, interesting career and business. It was an extraordinary education.
Yeah. And not to mention, I mean, when I think of sort of celebrity chefs, I think of, you know, I sort of grew up watching PBS and Julia Child and so on. Mm. But it felt, when from the outside at least, what Mario Batali and others were up to at that period of time felt so uniquely different from that. I mean, this was sort of, you were kind of making it up as you went along, or at least the opportunities were opening up as you went along.
Absolutely. I think this was concurrent with the rise in fine dining in Las Vegas, and to a lesser extent, Atlantic City, which is a casino town close to New York. And there were suddenly all of these new opportunities for chefs that had maybe one or two restaurants in their East or West Coast cities, suddenly getting opportunities to expand across the country in these places like Las Vegas and Phoenix and places like that. There was also the television thing became bigger and bigger. The focus of the print media really was on this younger generation of chefs. To a somewhat limited extent, women were starting to enter the picture as celebrity chefs, always kind of second to the men, of course. But I shouldn't say of course, but it does feel like the way it played out. You know, there were probably one woman for every 10 men that were considered, you know, top hot celebrity chefs. Shortly after my time with Mario was when Top Chef first became a thing on television.
Of course, right.
So it really was the beginning of this new fusion of cooking and media.
Yeah, Lori Wolliver is with us this half hour. She is a writer and author. Her biography is called Care and Feeding, a Memoir, and it's all about what has been an incredibly fascinating career that she's had, both as a writer and at the people she's worked with over the years, including, as we were talking about, the famous chef Mario Batali, and then later Anthony Bourdain, who she served as an assistant with for 10 years and a co-writer as well on two of his cookbooks. She later wrote a definitive oral biography of Anthony Bourdain after his passing. We'll talk a bit more about how she went from that world to the Anthony Bourdain world after this. Don't go away.
This week on Model Makeover, we take the old Tiguan and upgrade it with more horsepower, more towing capacity, and accessorize the new model with cutting-edge tech and premium finishes.
Didn't expect a makeover show-style commercial for a car ad? Find more than what you're expecting at Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, where the redesigned 2025 Tiguans have arrived. Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, just off Barlow. Online at fifthavvw.com.
Simply stunning.
It's a hole-in-one event that you don't want to miss. The 9th Annual Global Fest Golf Classic returns Monday, June 23rd at Muirfield Lakes Golf Course. Your registration includes 18 holes with cart, contest holes with prizes, multiple food and beverage holes. Then wrap up this amazing day with a post-tournament reception buffet with live and silent auctions. Proceeds raised from this tournament go into supporting the many community and youth outreach programs that Global Fest undertakes year-round. For more information, visit globalfest.ca.
Eurospot introduces Oops Moment number 74. Did you know it's common for men to experience bladder frequency at night? Take Tom, for example, who would get up at 1, 2, and 3 to pee. At Eurospot, Tom restored his pelvic floor in 28 minutes, simply by sitting on a chair fully clothed and nodding off. 6 sessions later, Tom is all Z's and no P's. If you'd like fewer trips to the bathroom, visit us at eurospot.com to strengthen your pelvic floor. That's eurospot.com.
Spend less time maintaining and more time relaxing. Introducing True Water from Jacuzzi. With nanobubble technology, you'll use less chlorine than drinking water. No bromine, no salt. True Water. Only from Jacuzzi Calgary. Visit jacuzzicalgary.ca.
Okay, so boxes, got a truck, keys to the new place.
Getting ready for the big move?
Yep, think I have everything. Just need more time.
What about your move-out clean? I know landlords can be pretty demanding.
Oh, man, I totally forgot about that.
Moving in, moving out? Let the Cleaning Witch look after the cleaning while you handle all the heavy lifting. All Cleaning Witch employees are thoroughly trained, insured, and use their own eco-friendly supplies. You just sit back and let the magic happen. Get your free quote at cleaningwitch.ca. The Cleaning Witch, proudly employing Ukrainian refugees.
The recently proposed changes to the capital gains tax regime highlighted the importance of proper planning for businesses. Here's Paul Lindsay of McMillan Estate Planning.
Business owners carry a great deal of value inside their corporations.
Without proper planning, their estate could fall victim to multiple layers of tax, which could lead to significant losses.
RSVP for Macmillan Estate Planning's complimentary virtual seminar on Thursday, May 29th at macmillanestate.com.
Hey, Dad, did you know when a village comes together, we can do amazing things?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like helping families have a safe place to stay and letting kids like me just be kids.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about In From the Cold. We learned about it at school. They're matching donations until June 8th.
Sounds like you've been doing your homework.
Maybe a little. We should donate.
You're a pretty smart kid. You know that?
Yeah. I know. So can we? I've got allowance money.
All right. Let's do it.
A village can open doors for families facing homelessness. Visit avillagecan.ca to donate today.
The Knee Clinic is Alberta's only private knee clinic. They'll have your knee issue less in days without the need for a doctor's referral. Stop waiting. Stop guessing. Call 403-457-KNEE or visit kneeclinic.ca.
Getting a good start in the morning is essential to a great day. The new Morning Brew with Andrew Schultz.
You get the kids hooked on Sesame Street, and it happens to be on Netflix. And as they get older, they're still on Netflix. This is a slam dunk, I think, because as a kid, if you have children particularly, PBS is great, and I appreciate what they do down in the States. But it's portable. You can bring Sesame Street with you anywhere now. And as a parent, I like this move.
The new Morning Brew with Andrew Schultz. Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 9 on QR Calgary 770.
This is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Most important thing to realize is that it's all very easy. Whenever
Mario Batali, the crock-wearing celebrity chef with a recipe for success, rising from New York's hottest kitchens to Food Network stardom. But tonight he's gone from the frying pan into the fire. Four women accusing Batali of sexual misconduct. One woman telling Eater New York, a popular website about the food industry, that Batali rubbed her breasts after she spilled wine on herself. He just went to town, and I was so shocked.
Lori Woolover is with us this half hour. Her book is called Care and Feeding, a memoir. It's about her life, which has been fascinating. Again, there's a lot in it to chew on, just from being around a lot of very, very cool and famous people, such as Anthony Bourdain, but also just her own story, her own journey through it, and how, you know, getting a real bird's eye view or real behind the scenes look at what that world of sort of celebrity chef and all that was like, especially at its birth back in the early part of this decade, right through, or early part of this century, rather, right through till now. What happened with the, you in the book you describe sort of, and it's a long and winding road to some extent, but you end up as Tony Bourdain's assistant as well, and a lot of that has to do with the work you did earlier with Mario Batali.
That's right. I was leaving the job with Mario after about 3.5 years, and he happened to meet Tony. Tony had just published Kitchen Confidential a year or two before that and was coming into his own as a celebrity chef in New York and a television personality. So they crossed paths, and Tony asked Mario, you know, do you know anyone that might be able to help me with my cookbook? And this is something I had done with Mario. So he very kindly recommended me, and I met. That's how I met Tony at first. Worked with him on his first cookbook, which is called Anthony Bourdain's Lay All Cookbook. I think they just did a 20th anniversary reissue. It's a beautiful book. So we really got along well, and that was a great job. And then about 5 or 6 years later, I was ready to change jobs again. I had been working in magazines, and I had had a baby and was ready to have a slower pace of life. And I reached out to Tony, among many other people, and said, I'm looking for part-time work, if you know anything. And he said, well, would you like to be my assistant? I mean, it was just, again, like perfect timing. A few weeks later, he might have hired someone. I might have found something else, but that's the way it happened.
Yeah. And at the time, did you have an idea? I mean, one thing that you point out often, I've heard you talk about this in other interviews, and I think this is underappreciated about Tony Bourdain, and it would have been something that I think would have appealed to you, is his ability to write. That was, you know, he was many things, but what he was particularly artful at was writing, and it's something that you would have appreciated, and something that you also must have learned from him, as, and vice versa for that matter.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's with all of the television fame that he achieved, it gets lost a little bit that really what broke him out of kitchens and broke him out of obscurity is Kitchen Confidential, this incredible book that really just broke open the world of restaurants and chefs. And it was funny and entertaining and full of, you know, information that people didn't previously know. And people are still quoting it. I mean, it's just this phenomenon. So he really, he also was somebody that had a long time ambition to be a writer. And he did, he finally realized it in a big way in his 40s. So I loved his writing, and I loved being a writing partner with him. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. And speaking of Confidential, there are elements of your memoir that really do dig in to what goes on behind the scenes. And I know sometimes it can be quite, I don't want to use the word cartoonish, but the way people depict it is sort of either, sort of highly disciplined a la Jamie Oliver or any of those, or Gordon Ramsay or any of those shows that you watch, or it's sort of like some sort of bedlam behind the scenes, some sort of awful experience. And yet the way you describe it, it's all those things. It's a very nuanced experience to be in that world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, there's the sublime and the ridiculous. You know, there are extraordinary things that I got to see traveling with Tony in the later years when I worked with him. And then there's just the very mundane sort of stuff that you have to deal with, making sure there's toilet paper and clean socks and, the right number of beers in the fridge and, all these things. It's a lot of everything.
Yeah. And what about sort of your experiences within those circumstances? Because, of course, with Mario Batali, there was a Me Too moment with him. There's always been talk about what goes on behind the scenes in restaurant. For a while, it was still very much that macho world of we're very much open to a Me Too movement, by the way. And it felt like it was one of the ones that was exposed later than some of the other industries. And you do tackle that. You do dig into that in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a groundswell of people speaking out and stories coming out and newspapers and websites really digging in and doing some hard investigative journalism about various chefs, not just Mario, but I would say he was among the biggest names that were investigated. And it was a bit of an open secret in certain circles in restaurants and media and, this is how it was. This was the behavior that was happening. And he certainly wasn't the only one, but demanding loyalty and demanding quiet and just the number of people that had this happening. And he certainly wasn't the only one, but demanding loyalty and demanding quiet and just the number of people that had this kind of experience with him of being made to feel uncomfortable, being touched inappropriately, things being said. It was it was a tough moment for a lot of people. I didn't take any pleasure in his downfall. He was a mentor to me and somebody that I had a complicated relationship with, but it was really, it's sad to see someone be their own worst enemy and be felled on their own sword. And I think that's what happened with him.
Yeah. I mean, the way you describe it, it really does allow the reader to understand that there can be many sides to human beings, right? There can be the genius and there can be the inappropriate masher. All living is a masher might be the right term, but all living in one person. And those contradictions can be tough to square sometimes when really what people, they've sort of become caricatures of themselves, both good and bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation with one of the reporters that was doing this work investigating him and one of his business partners. And I said, gosh, and I was sharing some of my complicated feelings with her. And she said, yeah, it's like having that uncle who comes to Christmas and makes everyone uncomfortable and says racist jokes or whatever. But sometimes he gives everybody $100, it's this he's not one thing or the other. He's the bad behavior. In this case, the bad behavior really outweighed the positive qualities and he's still somebody who had a lot to offer the world, but he behaved really badly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think people look for a certain amount of contrition, and if they don't see it, then that can be people, as you mentioned, one can fall on one's own sword. Lori Wolliver is with us this half hour, writer and author. Her new book is called Care and Feeding, a Memoir. It's her story. She's written, she's co-authored cookbooks with the late Anthony Bourdain. She wrote a definitive oral biography of Anthony Bourdain after his passing. But this one is about her and her career, which is an incredible journey through some really interesting times and some really interesting places with some very interesting people. We'll talk a bit more about, she talks about her own struggles with addiction in this book, and we'll talk a bit more about the passing of Anthony Bourdain after this. Don't go away.
Is it your time for the win of a lifetime? Because it's Calgary Stampede Lottery's time. Win over $2.3 million in prizes, including the $1.49 million dream home. Buy tickets today for a chance to win our early bird prize, a 2025 GMC Yukon Denali, valued at over $100,000. Get your tickets before time runs out at calgarystampede.com/lotteries. Tickets sold only in Alberta. 18 plus, please play responsibly. License number 7301631651 and 166.
Floods, wildfire, tornado. Severe weather is having a big impact on Canada, and we're all paying the price. That's why the 140,000 people in Canada's insurance industry are working hard on solutions to help Canadians like you adapt to the impacts of severe weather, advocating for better protections to make our communities safer and more resilient. It's all part of our plan to protect the things we love. The people of the home, auto, and business insurance industry, protecting your tomorrow. Learn more at ibc.ca/tomorrow.
It's Gord Gillies for Home Instead. Speaking with Debbie Franchuk, RN and co-owner of Home Instead, she says when her clients finally discover Home Instead, they tell her, "The care you provide my parents is amazing. More people have to know what you do." It's no wonder why they refer Home Instead as the best kept secret. Now that you know the best kept secret, share it with your mom and dad. When your elderly loved one needs more care, choose Home Instead as your care partner. Visit homeinsteadcalgary.com.
I'm Chantal Kraviazic. My Métis grandmother was guarded about her family's heritage due to the history of scooping children with Indigenous backgrounds. Since the start of the full-scale war, over 19,000 Ukrainian children have been abducted by Russia in an effort to erase their cultural identity. A donation to the Canada-Ukraine Foundation will help rescue these children because every child deserves a future. Donate to the Canada-Ukraine Foundation at cufoundation.ca.
Filling your speakers with live Stampeders football. Get ready for the next exciting game on QR Calgary.
The Stamps gallop into the season with a visit from the Hamilton Tiger Cats Saturday, June 7th. QR Calgary has all the action with your pregame show 3:30 and your kickoff at 5.
All the hits, all the plays, all season long. Stampeders football on QR Calgary. Brought to you by Claws, the makers of precision farm equipment. Claws, made for more.
This hour for Mountain View Sun Decks. Is your deck showing wear and tear? Stairs in need of repair? Get summer ready by visiting mountainviewsundecks.com today.
It's Dana here from Rangeland RV with some important news. With so much trade uncertainty out there, if you've been thinking of buying a new RV, act fast. Right now, Rangeland RV is fully stocked and we have great prices. But once our in-stock units sell out, you will pay more. And remember, Alberta has some of the best camping on the planet. This summer, camp local and keep your dollars in the province. Get your new RV now while prices are at their lowest. Rangeland RV, Canada's number one Forest River dealer.
Sip, swirl, and savor at Stampede Cellar Uncorked May 31st at the BMO Center. Toast to Stampede season, featuring the champion wines from the Stampede Cellar Showdown International Wine Competition and locally produced culinary offerings provided by the best restaurants in Alberta. Enjoy each bite with bold reds or crisp whites. There's something to suit every palate and preference at Stampede Cellar Uncorked. Go to qrcalgary.com to enter to win a pair of tickets. Must be 18 plus to enter.
The day, it's engaging talk that matters. You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Anthony Bourdain was on a shoot for his show in a small French town. Close friend and chef Eric Repair discovered his body. The 61-year-old died by suicide in his hotel room. Bourdain led an extraordinary life, first mastering food, then turning it into a bestseller, Kitchen Confidential.
That was at the end of the 90s, and I remember reading it, and I was astonished how true it was. It will be remembered without any question as a groundbreaker.
From there, he pivoted to TV, redefining the travel show.
Vietnam. It could be no place else.
Both irreverent and thoughtful.
There's no dignified way to eat this.
Bourdain brought places, even the ones we all know well, to life.
Place. Best cheesesteak in South Jersey.
Food was at the heart of every episode, and he ate like he talked to people, loving a five-star restaurant as much as a hot dog on the street.
Let's talk about food and eat food, because it's just sitting here.
Talking to a family in Gaza the same way he talked to President Obama.
How often do you get to sneak out for a beer?
Very rarely.
Lori Wolliver is with us this half hour. She is a writer and author. She spent a decade as an assistant to the late Anthony Bourdain. She wrote two cookbooks, co-authored two cookbooks with him called World Travel and Appetites, and also wrote a definitive oral biography of him as well that was released after his death. Her memoir is called Care and Feeding. It's all about her story and the interesting places, people, and things that she's done over decades at this point. You talk a bit about, one of the things that often emerged, and I briefly worked in hotels when I was young, and I was always stunned at the amount of just sheer excess that went on in the kitchen. And you were surrounded by that world for a long time, and you talk quite openly about how it's easy to fall into that trap and not recognize that you have fallen into it and how hard it is to get out of it. And you're very candid about it. Was it important for you to talk about that part of your life?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that it doesn't, it's not the same for everyone, but it is a restaurants, the hospitality industry, it can be, it's a very stressful environment. It's a very fun environment. You're working very closely with a lot of people. You sort of blow off steam by making jokes or flirting a little bit. Maybe you go out for drinks after work or you drink at work. And, if you're not careful, you can really lead you to kind of an unhealthy place. And that was, I'm not blaming the industry at all. I think if I had been, a marine biologist, I probably would have ended up in the same sort of throes of alcoholism. But this was where I ended up. And it was important for me to talk about. I really got a lot of value when I was deciding to get sober. It was really helpful for me to read other people's stories of how things were and how they decided to stop drinking and what it was like for them afterward. And I hope that putting my story out there, if somebody is feeling like they're struggling with substances, they can see that there is another way to live.
Yeah, I was also, it was interesting that I think there's an early job that you lose because of this. It's interesting, and I think we've all been through this in life or known people who have, that it takes a few screw-ups before you start to realize what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It took me, I'm not sure I even realized it until I sat down to write this book and I started to sort of think about these jobs where something went wrong. And it really only occurred to me much later that the connecting thread of all of them was, oh, I was stoned, or oh, I was drinking a lot. I was not on my game because I was not sober much of the time. And I think it's very easy to come up with other reasons why things go wrong when you're in the throes of being dependent on drugs and alcohol. There's always, it's very classically an alcoholic thing to blame other people and to not. I'll speak from my own experience. Yeah. I was very good at figuring out why other people were at fault or why other situations had conspired against me, and didn't really take a lot of responsibility for myself for a very long time.
Yeah. And of course, the fact that you were continuing to succeed and so on over time, despite the obvious checks, that in itself, you can sort of explain away. You can make excuses for yourself too, while blaming others for your problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was productive, but I was addled.
Yeah. In my family, my father is a huge Anthony Bourdain fan. So I had sort of been living abroad when Parts Unknown came out. So I hadn't seen it. And my dad talked about it endlessly, and I came home to watch it. I understood the appeal of it because it felt like it hit it exactly at the right time. And yet after his suicide, which of course was, I think, as you point out, two presidents, a former president talked about it when it happened, or two former presidents did, that, it had this incredibly large impact on people, and you knew him so well. And then the addiction issue also came up there as well. And I wonder, when you look at all the stories told after the fact, I'm wondering if you think that we've been painting the right picture of Tony Bourdain, because he touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and yet addiction was part of it.
Yeah, I think like any human being, he's enormously complicated and multifaceted, and there were parts that he showed to the world and parts that he didn't. There were plenty of things that I knew about him, and I think there was a lot that I didn't know about him. So. Right. To ask about whether we painted the right picture, I think it's, there are many pictures. I love that people want to remember him in the most positive way as this incredible, intrepid traveler and writer and funny guy. I think that's beautiful. I think if there are people that will also want to acknowledge the dark parts and the sadness and the sort of doomed romantic, I think that is also very valid. But I really had to let go early on after his death of trying to police the way that he was remembered in the world, because it's, you know, it's above my pay grade. I know what I loved and knew about him and what I remember. And, you know, I definitely love to talk to people about him, but, you know, it's, everyone's got their personal, the thing, the way that he touched them, and for whatever reason it was, I want people to feel good about that. So, and he's just a complicated guy.
Yeah. That would have been, I imagine, part of the consideration when writing this memoir. The story is very much about you, but I'm sure you knew you were going to get asked about your time with Tony Bourdain and his passing, his suicide as well. I mean, clearly that was going to come up. I suppose you'd have to, I mean, I don't know where you're at with it now, but I suppose you'd have to brace yourself for that.
Absolutely. It's been now 7 years. It's going on 7 years since his death. The way I feel about it now is, you know, I will always feel that there's a hole in my life, and there will always be some sadness and anger and regret and all these things. But I've certainly had a lot of time to process, having finished the writing of World Travel and Irreverent Guide, and then doing the oral biography. Those were really important exercises in kind of processing my feelings about it. So at this point, there's very little that anyone can say or ask me or want to get into about Tony that's going to rock me. Right. And people are generally very, very kind and respectful. You know, there's always the odd question about, you know, some crazy conspiracy theory or something, and, you know, that's just life. But I'm very happy to talk about him. And you know, the way that the book goes, I also tried to gently make the connection between my own sort of romantic obsession, my own addiction, my own sort of, you know, searching for connection, trying to fill an emptiness inside me. And I think there was some of that with Tony too. And I think I proceeded rather delicately, but I think it's there. And I think it's a common thread among, you know, many people in the book that I write about, that we're all just kind of trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, that to me was one of those things that you really, and again, you exposed it gently, but I think it's something that many people inherently know, but don't fully understand. And maybe Anthony Bourdain's death was one of those things that hit home so hard, because in many ways people thought, well, look what he gets to do for a living. He gets to travel and eat in restaurants and wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be great? And I remember, because I was a foreign correspondent for a long time and spent a lot of nights in a lot of hotel rooms in strange places. And I remember telling, I think it was someone I knew, I said, you know, it's a pretty lonely life actually, because all you do is work. You spend a lot of time working and a lot of time waking up in strange hotel rooms. And I don't think his life is as glamorous as you think it was. Now, I don't think that's what led to what happened. But needless to say, when you talk about, you know, sort of the complexities of someone like that doing something like that, that's what I always think about, is that it wasn't as perfect. TV has a way of making things look very, very glamorous when behind the scenes they're not at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think that loneliness was a big part in that. I spoke with Anderson Cooper about the same thing for the oral biography, and he said much the same, that his work took him all over the world, or takes him all over the world, and that it's sort of wonderful and fascinating and exhilarating and also very lonely. And all of that travel and all those experiences can really isolate you from the people back home who haven't seen war zones and all of these extraordinary things. And it can lead to real loneliness.
Yeah. And in this case, I mean, one thing that I don't know if you feel, I mean, you must feel this. One thing that I miss about Anthony Bourdain is I just wish he was around to talk about what we're witnessing these days. It would be nice to see the world through his eyes a few more times.
Oh my gosh. I think about that so much. You know, since he died, I just think about all of the things that he missed. You know, I think he would have had some really interesting perspectives on COVID. He wrote a book about Typhoid Mary. You know, he was fascinated by this idea of communicable disease. And I just think he would have had so much to say. He was somebody who got travel, all kinds of travel vaccines all the time. I think he would have spoken a lot of common sense about the necessity of vaccines. And the political things that are going on now. He would have had a lot to say. And it's really our loss.
Yeah. Lori Wolliver is with us this half hour. She's a writer and author. Her book is called Care and Feeding, a memoir. It's about her life. She's had a fascinating, we're talking about it, she's had a fascinating career in many ways, including working with Anthony Bourdain for a decade or so, co-authoring some books with him, as well as writing a definitive oral biography of him after his passing in 2019. When we come back, we'll talk a bit more just about what she'd like readers to walk away with from this and where she goes from here. That's next.
Let's get our garden on with Spruce It Up Garden Center, with Calgary's largest selection of annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs. Our trees and shrubs come with a 2-year warranty for the greenest grass on the block. Use our Green It Up lawn fertilizer, and our landscape design and construction department are ready to go. For your trees, we have Prune It Up with ISA certified arborists that are ready to help you with all of your tree and shrub care needs. Calgary's full service garden center. Spruce It Up, Green It Up, Prune It Up. We got you covered.
Calgary Health Foundation Home Lottery Mountain Edition. It's more than just a ticket. This is your ticket to Alberta's Mountain Playground, featuring the $2.7 million grand prize Canmore Villa in Spring Creek. Imagine weekend escapes or full-time life in your own luxury Rocky Mountain Villa located in the heart of Canmore. Your very own picture-perfect escape plus $50,000. Vacation, move in, rent, or sell it. You'll have the freedom to choose. CalgaryMountainHomeLottery.com.
Come on in to Home Network.
Welcome home!
And find experts who feel like family.
This is spectacular. I was not expecting this.
Ideas to inspire your everyday.
Brilliant. Beautiful.
And stories that will touch your heart.
Oh my God!
I love that big family hug.
There's no place like it. Welcome to Home Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Tangerine, official launch partner of Home Network.
Want to know a secret the mattress industry doesn't want you to know? Their mattresses are a throwaway item, often with a life cycle of only 6 or 7 years. At Everbed, our mattresses are designed to last 3 or 4 times longer. How? There's no secret. We simply design them so that any component that wears out can be easily updated. It also makes them infinitely customizable to be perfectly suited to each sleeper. Everbed, made in Canada, made for you, made forever. Check out our Calgary showroom. Visit everbed.com.
When you book your complimentary in-home consultation with Cousins Windows and Doors, you get more than just a couple of measurements and a price. You get access to a team with nearly 50 years of knowledge and experience on your side. You get locally manufactured products and a dedicated team of craftsmen installers. And when it all comes together, you get a kind of quality that can only be spelled COSSINS. Book your complimentary in-home consultation today at CousinsWindowsAndDoors.com.
Larry from SAS Comfort Shoes, celebrating their biggest sale ever.
All our SAS shoes are on sale. Save $60 when you buy 2 pair at regular price, or shop our big inventory clearance, up to 50% off men's and ladies' overstocked shoes.
Excellent. SAS shoes are the only brand with 6 widths. And now, introducing new styles by Vionic and Remonte. Hurry to SAS Comfort Shoes, across from Chinook Center.
Hi, I'm Debbie.
And I'm Melanie, your fashion stylist at Something to Wear.
No matter the time of year or the event,
we've always got something to wear for you.
We have just what you need to refresh your look.
The wearable trends.
Must-have basics.
Unique finds.
And most importantly, personalized service and style advice.
All of us at Something to Wear are here to help you find the style you love.
At Something to Wear in Aspen Landing and SomethingToWear.com.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram for even more fashion inspiration.
Hi, I'm Donna Friesen from Global National. Life moves fast these days, and we want to make it even easier for you to get the news you need. That's why you can now get Global National every day as a podcast. The biggest stories of the day with analysis from award-winning global news journalists. New episodes drop every day, so take this as your personal invitation to join us on the Global National podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
When he threw himself into something, he threw himself completely.
Why am I here? Am I insane?
He was like, life's about finding a cliff we're jumping off. I'm going to look for something feral and wild.
He was a traditional romantic.
reality was never going to live up to exactly how he pictured it.
Lori Wolliver was Anthony Bourdain's longtime assistant and confidant. Her new book explores his time as a chef in New York, his days traveling the world for his hit culinary and travel shows, No Reservations and Parts Unknown.
Lori Wolliver is with us this half hour. She is a writer and author. Her book is called Care and Feeding, a memoir. It's about her fascinating life growing up outside of Syracuse, so honorary Canadian, as we were saying, but making her way to New York when she had just finished university and then sort of working in what we now think of as kind of the early days of the sort of top chefs and this whole idea of kitchen culture that we came to know celebrity chefs, really, including Mario Batali, and then afterwards, for a decade, Anthony Bourdain. Lori, now that it's out there, I mean, one of the things that's always difficult with biographies is there is no end, right? The story mm-hmm. continues. But I mean, you must be interested in how people are going to receive it, right? Because this is not a cookbook you've co-authored with someone else or a biography of someone else. This is your story, and people are going to react to it in the way they react to it. And once it's out there, it's kind of unleashed, isn't it?
It's true. Yeah. And there's some very personal things in the book. There are things, ways that I behaved, decisions that I made that I'm not proud of, but they happened, and things that I learned from. So it is a vulnerable moment. I will say that so far people have been very respectful, and, you know, it's, I think people, if you read the whole book as a piece and not just isolate this or that, you know, a salacious moment, it is a complete picture of somebody growing up.
Yeah, I suppose that therein lies the issue. I think I heard you do an interview with Joe Rogan a while back when someone was talking about the AI, use of AI to recreate Anthony Bourdain's voice for a very small snippet of the movie, and it became kind of the focal point. And I suppose people will be digging through your story, looking for salacious stories about people that you've worked with, right? And they can't help but do it. But I get the sense, though, having read many interviews that you've done, that hasn't been the overriding approach to what you've written.
No, I understand. I'm not naive about the way that marketing and PR works. And I understand that to get people to pay attention, you've got to sort of pick out the most engaging, you know, shocking bits. And so, you know, I'd say Mario and Tony constitute maybe 20% of my story and my book, yeah. but the coverage and the interest has been very, you know, disproportionate. And again, I understand they were very big, important names. But yeah, it is much more than that. It is, and the most gratifying thing that's happened is people reaching out to me, men and women, saying, you know, really relate to your story. So much of what you've gone through with drinking or family stuff or marriage, work, whatever it is, I can relate to these stories. This could have been my story. And that's, I think, much more valuable than a little bit of celebrity gossip.
Yeah. Well, that's to me that although I, you know, as I started reading it, I was looking for those, you know, the familiar names but a few pages in, you're already kind of taken in by the story of Hayseed and all the things that happen to you when you're young and so on. It's a really endearing, fascinating read. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Lori Wolliver spent many years working alongside big names like Mario Batali and Anthony Bourdain, the late Anthony Bourdain. And she'd written with Bourdain over many years and decided then she essentially turned the pen on herself. You know, we talk about turning the camera on oneself. She turned the pen on herself and for a memoir called Care and Feeding, which is a really interesting dive into that world if you're fascinated by those things. And I always really liked Anthony Bourdain, especially on TV. He had a really special gift of being able to get to the heart of matters and to see things in certain ways that I found really interesting. As I was mentioning to Lori in that interview that we did back in mid-April, I often think, you know, with things unfolding in the world, I often think, what would Anthony Bourdain have thought of this? What would he have thought of what was going on? What would he have made of the second Trump administration? What would he have made of the things going on in the world? You know, Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, and we'll never know exactly why. I suppose there is no way of ever knowing exactly why. But that was the conversation. Again, the book is called Care and Feeding, and it's a really interesting read, especially if you're into that kind of celebrity, having a bit of a peek behind the curtain at that celebrity chef world that existed and sort of blew up and emerged out of New York 25 years ago and then turned into what we know it today, which is basically this huge industry of chefs who have become superstars. That's it for this week. Of course, we're heading into a long weekend, so I want to wish you all a very pleasant, sunny, and fun Victoria Day long weekend. I'll be back on Tuesday, of course, thanks to the whole team, Santiago and Brennan. On Tuesday, lots of interesting stuff coming up. I've sat down with Ken Rogoff, who's a really well-known Harvard economist. He was once the head of the International Monetary Fund, but he's just written a new book called Our Dollar, Your Problem. And it's essentially about just the dominance of the U.S. dollar and what it's meant for America, the kind of privileged position it's put it in, and how it may be now at risk that there are actually rumblings that the U.S. dollar mightn't be the global currency that we know it is now forever and ever. So we'll look into that. And, you know, there's a lot of places in this country, even having had the privilege of being able to travel around on election campaigns and so on, there are a lot of places in this country that I've never seen. And this is one of the most remote and the most spectacular. We're going to take you on a journey to Ellesmere Island, the northern tip of Ellesmere Island. That's where you can't go any further other than on sea ice up towards the north. We're going to meet an explorer who made a 500-kilometer trek across the north, and he was there to see something very rare, and that is Arctic wolves in the wild. He'll be with us on Tuesday. I keep wanting to say Monday, but it's Tuesday. So have a great long weekend. I'm Ben O'Hara Byrne. This has been Conversations. As always, thanks for listening.
Live healthy, live happy, live in a loving community. Welcome to the Manor Village, a place where seniors have fun together while living a full life. The Manor Village is more than a beautiful residence. They surround seniors with wonderful people that treat your loved ones with respect, kindness, and care. Experience elevated senior living with fitness and entertainment programs, Red Seal culinary experiences, and more. Manor Village, the community with heart. See all 9 locations and schedule your tour at themanorvillage.com.
Hi, Andrew Schultz here. It's spring, or as I call it, Jiffy season, which means there's so much to do around my home. As if I don't have enough on my plate, my washing machine decided to quit mid-cycle. I opened the Jiffy app, and within seconds, I was paired with Mike, who showed up that day and had it fixed in no time. And when it comes to my spring to-do list, Jiffy is my go-to. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at jiffyondemand.com with the code QR25 for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, Canada's number one home maintenance app.
Get an exciting new look, support local manufacturing, and get our best price of the year. It's a great time to visit Birchwood Furniture Galleries. Save 30% on furniture that's upholstered right here in Calgary. Find a style you love and then personalize it with fabric that complements your living space perfectly. And you can do it at Birchwood's best price of the year. Support local and save 30% for a limited time at Birchwood Furniture Galleries. Visit birchwoodfurniture.ca.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
WindowMart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
A spring organizing poem by Sentinel Storage. Spring is in the air. It's time to declutter, but Ava won't part with the rocking chair she got from her grandmother. Omar's trophies, treasures, and memories are scattered here and there. Need extra space, you say? But where can we store with care? Sentinel Storage, of course, indeed. There'll be one near you to store your items until they are in need. Go to Sentinel Storage and you'll be filled with glee. If you sign up now, you can try 4 weeks for free. Visit sentinelstorage.ca for details.
Running a small business is tough, now more than ever. Every marketing dollar has to work harder. That's why Canadian businesses trust Constant Contact. With email, events, and social tools, you can reach more customers, drive sales, and see real results. On average, every dollar spent on email marketing returns $36. That's ROI you can count on. Even in challenging times, our all-in-one marketing platform helps businesses grow. See for yourself. Start for free today at constantcontact.ca.
Love playing Baccarat? Then Cowboys Casino invites you to join the Wild Hunt. From now until June 19th, play Easy Baccarat and win up to $8,888. You score ballot entries when winning $10 plus on Panda or Dragon side bets for a shot at Cowboys Casino's June 19th cash tournament. And it gets even better. You get double the ballots when Panda kills Dragon. Ask your dealer for details. It's time to join the Wild Hunt only at Cowboys Casino. Please play responsibly.
Hi, this is Mark Trozo with Prune It Up, Calgary's premier tree care company. Calgary's extreme weather can be very stressful on your trees and shrubs. Chinooks may feel great for us, but can cause many issues for your trees. At Prune It Up, we take preventative measures year-round to care for your trees to give them the best opportunity to thrive and grow. From pruning, removals, tree shaping, and plant health care programs, look no further than us. Local, skilled, passionate, professional. Spruce it up, green it up, prune it up. We've got you covered.
Don't miss the amazing giveaway happening now at House of Cars. There are weekly draws for barbecues, TVs, Yeti mugs and coolers, remote starters and more. Or the grand prize of 10 grand. No strings attached and no purchase necessary. Enter in person at House of Cars.
Connect with Sarah Crosby.
Online Romance Day.
I don't think anyone's going to like me off a dating app, Andy, if my husband got sucked up by aliens. I'm not going to be on the top of anyone's list unless they get to meet me, sit down, and go, okay, she can talk. Maybe she's a little funny. She's really caring. But to go on a head picture alone on an app, I don't think I'm many people's cup of tea.
Connect with Sarah Crosby. 2-6 weekday afternoons on QR Calgary. Brought to you by Verb Aspenwood's Retirement Home.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News at 6 o'clock. I'm Zach Ferguson. It's 5 degrees here in Calgary. What's being called Canada's most ambitious Indigenous-led land development project, TAZA, will soon be the home to many Calgarians in a year's time. Located in Southwest, the community will be designed in partnership with the Tsuut'ina Nation. President of the TAZA Development Corporation, James Robertson, says he is continually impressed by their entrepreneurship.
Their business expertise is phenomenal, and they're willing to work with us to find the right balance between things that reflect their culture and their values, but at the same time appeal to the larger community in the Calgary region.
Achieving growth and prosperity by developing this parcel of land has been a vision held by Tsuut'ina leaders since the 1970s. The House of Commons resumes tomorrow, and the first order of business will be to select a new House Speaker. At least six returning members are asking their colleagues to support their bid to take the chair. The final list of candidates will be released this evening. When Parliament opens up, each will have 5 minutes to address the House before MPs vote in a secret ballot. Also, Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre will address his caucus today before 144 Tory MPs return to the Commons without him, as Poilievre lost his seat in the April election. King Charles and Queen Camilla are due to arrive in Ottawa tomorrow to perform a historic and unusual royal duty in our capital. On Tuesday, the king will deliver the speech from the throne, something a monarch hasn't done since Queen Elizabeth last did it.